before you this morning, grateful for the privilege to hear from you, dear Lord God. Father, I thank you for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary. And that my teaching this morning is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power, Father. I'm praying for life-transforming power, Father God. Lord, we recognize that two notable people took their lives this week. And Father, there's just a spirit of depression that's trying to come upon us, dear Lord God, but we are standing in resistance to that, Father God, because we believe better days are ahead. So, Father, glory and honor, they belong to you. I thank you that the word that's going forth now will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain. I pray not for our congregation at New Day alone, but I pray for North Point. I pray for Corona Friends. I pray for Connection Church, Crossroads, dear Lord God. I pray for First Baptist, Heavenly Father. I pray for New Hope, dear Lord God. Pour your spirit out upon Saddleback, Father God, upon Calvary Chapel. Bless Corona today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Repeat after me, please. I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped,
and I will serve. Those are our four core values here at New Day. And today, my new series that I'm starting is called, the title is Overwhelming Victory. Not just victory, overwhelming victory. Now, I need to be clear on this, okay? I need to be real clear. I believe God wants to prosper me. Scripture says that. He wants me to be in health. Even as my soul is the word psyche, my mind, my will, my emotion prospers. So the level of my prosperity in life is based on the health, my emotional health. There's a direct correlation to that. You got it? Everybody understand? Okay, all right, so here we go. Jesus came that we might have life and life more. So not just life, abundant. You see that? David said, my cup, now he has a cup, but my cup over. So that means more than. Enough. Paul talked about a peace that passes all understanding. So it's not just peace. It's a next level peace. Peter talks about a joy unspeakable. It's not just joy, but a joy unspeakable. Do you understand? Romans 8:37 on your handout says this. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Now, what things are despite of? All the things that you are faced with right now. When we started this morning, Ambrosia said in a prayer, it's been a week, but here I am. Hallelujah. There's a lot that you've had to contend with. But in spite of that thing, overwhelming victory. Now, you guys are old school. King James, it says, more than, we're more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror. Even though I'm only 5'7 and 148 pounds, I'm more than a conqueror. Cheryl said, we're not laughing at you. Yes, they are. It's okay, though. It's okay. Now, overwhelming victory, when we, you know, this was originally written in Greek, and this is what it means. It means to be more than a conqueror. That's what it means. It also means to gain a surpassing victory. Not just victory, surpassing. Now, the beauty of this, having life more, you know, life and life abundantly, you know, your cup overflowing, you know, peace that passes all understanding, you know, a joy unspeakable, is that now you're in a position where you can really be a blessing to somebody else. You don't, he doesn't bless you so you can consume it upon yourself. And we got to move beyond that. Bless me and my four no more. It's all about others. It's all about others. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. In order to be fruitful, and death to self. And death to self, a lot of us, you're not going to go hang on a cross. But Jesus did say, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and die daily. So there are some things I have to die to daily. I'm an introvert. That's my preference. But it's not my calling. And some of us want to live by our preferences. There's some things we prefer. A lot of things I prefer. Some of y'all really like going off on people. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That's wrong. Not of God. You better hold on to your mind. You might need it later. Some of you prefer to be a part of everything going on. You're going to wear yourself out. You got to learn to say no. We have preferences. And sometimes we have to die to that. But some of you guys have fears also. And you got to die to your fear. You got to die to your doubt. You got to die to your unbelief. You got to die. Hey, you got to die to your hurt and your pain. Let's get into this. Amen. Now, so beginning at Easter, we talked about the resurrection. After Easter, we talked about the 40 days that Jesus remained on the earth, okay? After his resurrection, like, dude, you resurrected, you know, be out of here, you know, problem solved, we got salvation, see you when we get there. No, he hung around still talking about the things of the kingdom. There were some loose ends he needed to tie up. We talked about circling back. He had to circle back around some things because Peter and the fellas, they didn't quite get some stuff. So once everything was wrapped up in a nice bow, I'm out of here. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit falls. And those guys that were following Jesus, they went to a whole nother level. Okay? Now, this is the first church. And now today's message is within the context of New Day. And if you want to understand the purpose of something, go back to its origin. And let's see how God orchestrated the first church. Now, we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 42 through 47. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. Okay? 42 says this, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You have to be devoted. Devoted. For a lot of us, we're not devoted. We catch it when we can. Pastor, I'll check you out as I'm driving on the 91. But yeah, I understand, and that's good. That's good. I was on the 91 the other day myself, just listening, and that's important. But you have to devote yourself, not squeeze it in. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And I've been doing this for 8 years now. Here, and we got, 10 other churches, okay? And I'm telling you, the people that are devoted, not that they don't never call me, but they just call me a whole lot less. Do you know how many times people will send me a text message, ask me something, and the day before or the night before, I just taught on that. Not frequently that happens. Now, I don't say anything, but I just go ahead and get, but I pray that there's a more dedication to the teaching of God. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Now, so I like to isolate myself. And some of you, when you feel bad, you get hurt, what do? You draw away. That's the time to fellowship. Not about your feelings at that time, it's about your healing. I feel bad. I feel bad a lot too. But I walk by faith and not by my feelings. You have to. And in sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Elder Abraham's in charge of prayer, and those are the least attended the service, not just at New Day, but across America. Call a prayer meeting, 3 people show up. It's not this message, though. 43. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And I noticed something, and this is not a criticism of America, but it just the miraculous stuff tends to happen to me in other nations a whole lot more than here. And for some reason, they're third world. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, they're first world. 44, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They're not selfish about others. 45, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. This is a funny passage to me right there because people are arguing about is tithing for today. These people selling everything they have, giving. We're talking about 10%. You struggling with 10%? These people selling blocks of land and just, okay. 46, they worshiped together. And it's one of the reasons worship is our first core value. Worship is important. Worship, having reverential fear of the Lord, is important. They worship together at the temple each day. Pastor, I'm just going to the mountains and get my praise on. Okay. I don't know where you got that from, but it's not the Bible. Okay. They worship together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I'm praying for a spirit of generosity to go upon New Day. 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I would want to join a fellowship like that too. Especially coming from a dysfunctional family and a dysfunctional city like I did. You have some people that's got their stuff together. Hallelujah. That's a good place to be. Now let's go to chapter 3. And here we go. Overwhelming victory is yours, okay, through Christ. Through Christ, okay? Verse 1. Now, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. They had prayer meetings 3 in the afternoon. Glory to God. Once a week, 9 or 11. Okay. Verse 2. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. I need to read verse 2 again. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate. Each day. Lame from birth. Each day. This was his routine. No hope. Just, he's lame from birth. We're just going to take you there and you're going to beg. You're just going to beg. You're going to beg. Every day. Same routine. Every day. Same routine. Same routine. And there are people going into the temple. You have the picture? Okay, and so you understand the gate. Beautiful. You guys that are going to come to joining with us to Israel, we'll be going in February of next year. And more details later. But that, you'll get a chance to see that gate. And that is what we believe was the Gate Beautiful, where he was sitting outside that gate. And now it's all closed up now. But back then, it was open. And as you can see, it's beautiful. If you think about that, that's over 2,000 years ago. That's monumental. And here's this guy who is lame from birth sitting next to something great. Now, picture this. People, holy people, walking past him going into the temple. He's outside. How many people are outside right now that we drove past? They're begging. They might not be lame in their feet, but they're lame in their emotions, lame in their marriage, lame in their finances, lame in their parenting skills. You look at them kids and say, they're some bad kids. Well, you know, what? Maybe the parents don't know how to parent. Verse 3. Now, this lame man, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. He did what he normally does. Just ask for money. Just ask for money. I need some money. And most of us, too, we need money. I'm not belittling this. We all need money. He needed some money. He said, I need some money. On 6th Street, there's a couple of 7-Elevens and an AM/PM. You always see this, pretty much the same guys out there asking for money. Verse 4. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. Look at us. The man was already looking at them. That's why he knew they were there and needed some money. What do you mean, Peter, look at us? What is it you want me to see? And I love Peter because he knew there was something in him, something he had this man didn't have. And I believe Peter saying, focus on what I'm about to say. Pay attention. And a lot of us, here's something. Opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in a lifetime of the opportunity. And many of us, the opportunity is like a window. It's rolling, and we won't jump through. And we won't jump through because we're used to just sitting there begging every day. You have a routine. You have something that's normal in your family, something that everybody does. And along comes New Day. And I hear people say, what kind of church is it? Y'all don't. I know we're different. That's fine. But I'm talking about overwhelming victory. And not only just talk about it, I want to be about it. Pastor, why do you have that conflict resolution class? Because I want you to have overwhelming victory. How many of you guys got your 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, 5-bedroom house, but you still haven't got an overwhelming victory? Got your extra bathrooms painted all nice, decorated. Got your wallpaper, got your floor and your special tile you ordered in from Italy, and you all got your special granite, and this came. You don't have overwhelming victory. You got some tile, but no victory. And we mistake stuff with victory. Yeah. Not at all. And we get this routine. And I can tell what you truly believe just like looking at a pressure situation. How do you respond? How do you respond? How do you respond? That's when what's in you comes out. Look at us. Verse 5, the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. He's just going to keep doing what really hasn't been working. And I'm not mad at him because many of us do the same thing. We're so routine. You remember that commercial, where are you going? Same place. What are you going to do? Same time, same. You know that when you're going to lunch, it's same. Every day, same thing. And so we fall into this routine. And this is what this guy did here. But Peter said, I got something better for you. Look at verse 6. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. Now, right then, my heart would have sank. It's like, well, then why are you talking to me? Step next. Because I need some money. But occasionally, I think we need to listen and pay attention to where God is working. Because for many of you, you think you know what you need. And it hasn't been working all these years, yet you keep on insisting. It's not working. What makes you think it's going to work? You got this ideal. If I had him. Is Darlene here today? Is Darlene, you in service? Okay, I'm going to clown you right now. Okay, so on Facebook, she puts pictures of like all these movie stars. And then it says one is like the principal, one's the math teacher, one's the English teacher, and all this, right? And half y'all responded, stop laughing, like, girl. And the idea is like, how'd you put it? Which class will you take? Meaning, who do you want to be? It was all in jest. It was funny. It was nothing wrong. It was good fun, okay? It was good fun. Nothing wrong. But a lot of people in real life, because when I saw it, I put on, I said, all right, I'm going to tell your husband unless you give me $50. So. But for some of us, it's real. You go to a movie, you watch TV, and it's like, oh, if I only had him. Or for some of you, go to work, and you're looking at somebody. And you think, oh, if he's so kind, he's so nice, if I can just, you need Jesus. Jesus long before you need any other man. Because then once you get Jesus, you're going to see clearly. And the stuff, because I ask people, you know, you get married, and it's like, and you're fighting and all that, and I'm like, and I'm real nice to you, and I take you back, and I said, hey, I'm going to tell you, okay. So I take you back, and I tell you, how'd you guys meet? And you, oh, we met, we was doing this, and whatever. Oh, it was this, and this. And I tell me some of the red flags you saw. Well, I saw this, I saw that, and I saw that. Then my question is, why did you ignore them? Because that's why we're meeting right now. You saw it then. And you know what I always hear? I thought I could change him. Now I got another question. Who have you ever changed? It's not a criticism. I want you kind of to wake up because I want you to have overwhelming victory. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. Now watch this. But. Say but. Now what have I taught you about but? But cancels out everything right before it. In other words, he's saying, you know, forget that silver and gold. And right there, it's like, wait, what are you talking about? But I'll give you what I have. And that's what we need to get to the point where we can give somebody what we have. Oh, I got something for you. And see, the thing is that Jesus really needs to be so reflective in our lives that it overshadows all those other Christians out there that's slipping and dipping. Because that's what a lot of people say. You know, and I've been to that church. I know what he's about. And yet, you know. I need to be different. You need to, when I walk up, you need to see something. Yes. Intentionally. Yes. I'll give you what I have. What do you have, Peter? And the name, he had the name. The name. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Wait. So what did Peter give him? How do you give someone a name? Here's the thing. And we're going to get to this in a couple of weeks. You have authority that you're not exercising. We were singing, and one of y'all was praying, or somebody said something this morning about walking in your authority. Maybe it was you, Elder, when you were praying about, no, the song, Pastor Todd, everything is underneath our feet. Do that one again in 3 weeks. Get up, line up with my sermon. Amen? Okay. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. You do. You do. This morning I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, I just kind of lost it. It's like, you know who I am and whose I am? That young girl, the movie star that married the prince, you know, the prince is like, well, I'm the prince. He got a name. Charles, what's his name? Harry. He has a name. He has a name. And even though people like me don't know it, but he's part of royalty, and he walks in that authority. He carries himself that way. He does. You don't see him shrinking back. Oh, I don't know who I am, or who's my mama, or my, I'm a prince. I'm a child of the Most High God. And this is what Peter said. Oh, I got something. You got to embody that. So everything my dad didn't give me, oh, well, when my mama came up short, so what? Watch this. Verse 7. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. Now, see, that's what we got to watch out, too, because I've seen too many pastors, and this bothers me. It bothers me. It does this. I gave him the word. I'm going to spend 1 hour with him. You need some more word being that mean. The Bible says a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It ain't about you. And that word life is the word psyche. A good shepherd gives his mind, his will, his emotions for the sheep. That's what Jesus said. People call, I answer the phone. Just pause the movie, Jackie. Give me a minute. Amen. And you guys, thank you guys. You know we have date night, okay? So thank you for not calling me after 6 o'clock on Friday. It's me and Jackie time. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not the only one either. In fact, I had a situation down in another city, and I called Minister Terry. She handled it, and so a lot of the ministers are helping me out too, so hallelujah. So it's not like that, okay? But I need you to see something. Verse 7, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. We need to be helping people up. We need to be helping people up. You went through the Destined for Purpose course. You're all excited. Hallelujah. Went through Malik's Planning for Success course. Hallelujah. Attended Leela's training. Good. Who are you telling about it? Thank you, Tammy. Let people know. Help them up. Now watch this. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. It literally means in Greek they were made solid. So what was lame is lame no more. Say lame no more.
Lame no more.
I loved Bishop Noah last week. Yeah. Neighbor! When he was... He's in Kansas right now. He made it. And I told you his luggage. His luggage just made it to LAX yesterday. But he'll get it. Amen. But we have to be lame no more. When I think about, he didn't tell you his story. He's running all the churches in Botswana. A country of 2 million, just 2 million people is not that populated. Tell me. In fact, I think they got more elephants and giraffes than they do people. Okay, but anyway. No, they do. It's a good place to, no, that wasn't, no. I didn't mean it that way. Anyway. If you want to go to a safari, that's a good place to go, Botswana. But the thing is to see him go from victory to overwhelming victory. Let's look at this right now, okay? He was healed instantly. And that's what I want New Day to be. When we pick somebody up, that now they're solid. Verse 8, he jumped up. Watch this, he jumped up. Wait a minute, he was lame. Now he's jumping up. And he stood on his feet. He stood. That's victory. He's standing. It's like, that's victory. What do you think was going through his mind at that time? It's like, been watching everybody walk past him, droves of people walking past him. He's standing. But see, that's victory. But we're not, now we're about to slip over an overwhelming victory. He began to walk. Now he's doing something he never done before. And he didn't stop at walking. He started leaping. It's time for a lot of y'all to start leaping. I'm happy you're standing. But you ever notice that, like, y'all call me and you got that breakthrough that I don't settle for that? It's like, okay, now it's time to start walking. And then once you start walking, I'm going to push you to you leaping. I want the best for you. Overwhelming victory. Not just victory. And most of you have victory. You do. I've been in houses. Oh, y'all got victory. I see you kiss your wives. Hallelujah. Let's get so strong. Let's get so amazing. And now we're leaping. Leaping. And then praising God. And so you think about something. First thing he did, he began to praise God. If you can imagine walking, sitting there every Sunday, it's just Sunday for us, watching people walk past going to church. Seeing them drive their nice cars, come out going to, you know, get something to eat, nice restaurants, and you just sitting there begging. Begging. And that was routine. It was just, and that, this is Sunday. For him, it's every day. Every day. Seeing others walk. Seeing others laugh and run and do things. Seeing the little kids run around you. And he's just sitting there. Now, all of a sudden, he's standing. And it's like, oh, that's available for you, too. It's available for you, too. And there are some outside. We need to make this available. We need to start telling people. You got to let people know. And not only is this, see, here's the thing about this victory, this standing too. Many of you, I want you to be leaping in your marriage. I do? I want you to be leaping in your finances. I want you to be leaping in your purpose, in your careers, in your business. I want you barely getting by. Leaping. Lame no more. Lame no more. Lame no more. How did he get to that situation? He had somebody who had more, had something he didn't have. The problem is when we get around to people who have something we don't have, we shrink back because their greatness magnifies our deficiencies. I'm on a boat with some people that work for a major news, I ain't gonna mention names, but I mean, I was on a boat just the other day with some amazing people doing some amazing things. And it made me, and for a moment, I thought, you know, I can step my game up too, but you know what? I could have shrank back. I don't want to know who I am. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to insert myself. There's this one reporter. You guys have seen him. He's tall, very tall. In fact, I didn't even get to his shoulders. Good-looking guy. Good-looking guy. And I went up to him and said, you know, the only time I think I'm short is when I'm wrong with somebody like you, but take this picture. And this is why. Watch this. Because, see, you're blessed to be a blessing. Look at verse 9. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And that's infectious. Watch this. Verse 10. Then when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And I wonder now, for me, it's just me. You know how my mind works. How many of them looked and like, why didn't I heal him? Why didn't I pray for him? Why didn't I stop? Verse 11. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Two things. He was outside the temple. Now where is he? Inside. And for a lot of us, you're still outside. I know you come to church on Sunday, but you know it too. You're still playing with it. You haven't made a decision to get serious with it. You're still on the outside. You're still lame as a marriage. You're still out there. I'm telling brothers and sisters, today is your day. You better come on in. You better come on in. Come on the inside. Come on the inside. That's where you need to be. It's on the inside. I'm telling you, come on in. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose. And watch God move in your life. Last part, and he was holding tightly to Peter and John. My question, who are you holding tightly to? Ray Ray and Pookie? Boys in the hood? The boys that wish they could? You need to hold on to somebody who has more, knows more, is more, has become more. They jump higher. They run faster. Whatever it is, that who is your circle needs to be. That's who you need to be holding on to. But some of us like to be in a position where we're the Savior, we're the Lord. Everybody looks up to us. But if you're giving out, that means nothing's coming in. And if nothing's coming in, you're not growing anymore. You're not becoming anymore. I know it's uncomfortable, but get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because comfort and growth are not synonymous. They don't go together. What are you more interested in? What people think of you? I have to become. I need to move from victory to overwhelming victory. I need to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word.